Today we are going to talk about Nagarjuna's teaching letter to the friend, and it's included in the practice of Mahayana Buddhism. So listeners to this teaching need to have the intention to practice Mahayana accordingly. So, what distinguishes Mahayana practice from other practices is the intention. When one has the intention to liberate all the sentient beings or do things to benefit all the sentient beings, practicing Dharma or listening to the teachings, it's not the teaching itself but the intention of the practice of listening to the teaching or giving teachings that counts for the Mahayana practice. So this teaching of Nagarjuna, the author Nagarjuna himself has been foretold by Buddha himself that he is going to uphold Buddha's teachings in the future. So this advice or teachings to his friend, the letter to the king, mainly aimed at the king to accomplish two accomplishments. Accomplishments in this life and accomplishment for others or in next life as well. So the brief introduction of this teaching is the teaching as a Buddha's teaching. The author of this teaching has been prophesied to Buddha that great master is going to uphold his teachings in the future. So the source these teachings directly relate to Buddha himself. If you don't understand anything or if anything is not clear enough, and you may interrupt the translation or you can ask questions to Geshe-la directly. I'm not perfect, I may be wrong, so you can tell me if I'm wrong. So we are going to continue where we stopped last time. So, the last session we talked about what is required to be a Buddhist practitioner. There are ten things to be abandoned, which are non-virtues, and ten actions to be adopted, they are virtues. So that's the definition, defines one to be a Buddhist. So there are three doors to accumulate it. Either negative accumulation or positive accumulation. Those are the physical ones and mental ones and verbal ones. So, physical negative actions and its consequences or imprints of that has to be erased or eradicated by the opposite counteracting actions. So, if there are non-verbal negative karma of verbal actions, and it has to be purified by positive counteracting actions.
Gyawa tindri sa rani chibu gipa nipa raji me gyawa chee ke roo dhavu te suna su suru tse gore sinne roo te ne shani kencho sana roo tse vingo ne ngayro ne taa kanto jite tuge se gore te tenda sanje chu gindi la shasun loge te tengi tengi gore se.
So one is not efficient enough to purify such a strong negative imprints of negative karmas, so one requires assistance from blessings of three jewels. So that's why it tells us to take refuge in Buddha Dharma Sangha or venerate them. So today the teaching focuses on renunciation of these worldly possessions or worldly life and practice generosity to achieve a higher status in spiritual path. So the root instruction says recognizing the world to be ephemeral and insubstantial, exert yourself properly in liberal acts towards bhikshus, brahmins, and poor friends. For the future, there's no better friend than liberality.
That's 아니 템보 메바 마지 디 카제기 디 노시라고 치는 디 노시라 넘바 메바 힘보 메바 어 진지게 얘기해.
So it tells us the possessions we dwell on, such as clothing and shelters, or the things that we enjoy in this life, it tells that they are insubstantial because they don't give us a lasting satisfactions.
That in the case of Longshi, that the son Nimbo Mevan Tony, that Harichi Rangi, Rang, 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 Wami, that Sansi, Lida Longshi, and Ningasi, Rangi, Rangi Longshi, Lasso, but they are any, they are Jimba Tansam, that Sura Chigris, and Yetenji, Gelonda, Tongzi Lasso, but they are any Yetenji, Shina, Fear, Chicha.
So by understanding the nature of the possessions that we have, the ephemeral and insubstantial, by knowing the nature of those things, then we develop the renunciation towards those material possessions, and then we develop the intention to practice generosity of them. And the first object of generosity is that the higher beings, like bhikkhus, the monks, and Brahmins. The second object of generosity, that the poor ones, sick ones, and those who are less fortunate than us, so we give them generously. So third object of generosity, those who are close to us, like parents, friends, and once teachers who benefit us directly. So venerating them through generosity is a practice of the good acts here. So what is more beneficial when we do practice of generosity is one has to be enthusiastic about the action of generosity. So if one gives with unwillingness, and then the consequences of the action in positive is not that great. So the practice of generosity with respect, with compassion, without motherliness, and they're the ones the cause of liberation, for everlasting liberation.
So
In other terms of practicing generosity, there are three generosities relating to Dharma practices. One is giving teaching to others. One is assisting practitioners with material assistance. And then being kind to others, those who are in need. So in terms of practice in giving Dharma, when one is learning Dharma or imparting their understanding with others, generating wisdom of what is good and what is not in other beings, they are the eggs of generosity in Dharma. The second one, the material possessions, there are two types of practices. One is giving one's own body, and the other one is the possession of the person. So the previously we talked about giving material possessions. They are the practice of giving material assistance.
So the practice of
giving one's own body means, if somebody is blind, then you're willing to sacrifice your own eyes. If you see a person without arms, you're ready to sacrifice your arms to benefit that person. That's the practice of generosity in giving body. So great Indian master Ayadeva, while he was traveling, he encountered with a blind, and the blind person begged him for his eyes, and he sacrificed his eyes, which benefited that blind person. So there's a story about that. So when Buddha was on the path to towards becoming a complete enlightened beings, and there's a place, holy place in Nepal, where he sacrificed his own body to a tigress with cubs. So there's such generosity of giving is related to practicing on the path towards enlightenment. So that holy place is well known to the Buddhist people because of that practice of generosity that Buddha performed.
jabu chumi ke de ta pge pat dire me be yu ka ma de ma che tin la de le ne jin ba tan de ka rang gi ka se ma mi de ma rang gi chuma rang gi li lu ma she chuma ta pu gu de che ba sang ma jin ba ta de no
so there was a bodhisattva's called Jamikunden, and through his practices he renounced everything that he possessed, including his own children and all his possessions, given away to practice generosity. So those two are briefly practice of material possessions and giving away one's own body. The last one is generosity in kindness. So, with the intention to alleviate the sufferings of those who are overwhelmed by suffering, that is an act of generosity in kindness. The kindness refers to here is wishing to gain happiness for oneself or to others. It is called kindness. So definition of compassion here is to liberate others from sufferings. That is called compassion. And one is wishing to have happiness for others, or the other one is not to have suffering for others. So they are slightly different in definition. So the kindness and the compassion, they are kind of two sides of one coin in our mental practices of Dharma. One wishes not to have suffering for others, and the other one wishes to have happiness for others. So what is your definition of kindness? Could you please tell me?
Sometimes translated as love,
that
kindness
is sometimes translated as
love. Is there any difference between kindness and compassion? Or love and compassion? Love?
What kind of love are we talking about?
Mm-hmm. Oh. So there are many different types of love. Here, in terms of Dharma practice, in love is to wish to alleviate suffering of others, or take their sufferings off. Sometimes there's a slightly confusion between loving somebody with attachment and practice of loving kindness. So the normal definition of love here is quite different, but I'm talking about the love in practices.
nishye deyele tsewa te duma senche duma chante shirayas. Tadi kada kunzo gawu seye de decho kune ranjila deva tonde shiro shirayas.
So the difference lies in intentions. Here, in the practice of love, in terms of Dharma practice, when we say we love all the beings, means want to alleviate suffering of their suffering of other beings. But in normal terms, when we say we love you, that is contaminated by attachment or wishing to gain something in return, giving love to that person. Is that right? So also there are four aspects of practicing generosity, and there's giving protection. That in addition, giving protection is one of them. So, practice of giving protection in generosity is, for example, if somebody is near to death, or about to be eaten by other beings. So when you give protection to that being, and then there's a practice of protection in generosity. So also there are two categories in practice in generosity: the worldly ones, and the practice beyond worldly practice.
So, rangdeng de ane nganzo pe karishimba tamai na rani chibu ten jima karitamai na jitem jima shada chogre ma to.
So, in terms of practicing in generosity, one practices generosity to gain something from oneself. It's a worldly practice of generosity. So practice of generosity associated with the intention to become enlightened, fully enlightened, to benefit all the sentient beings, that is a practice beyond worldly practice. The effect or the imprints of that such practice carries on until one becomes enlightenment. So it's a very powerful the practice which is associated with enthusiastic, altruistic view of bodhicitta.
Setting the 다 지든 내바스네 산지지 공부 맞어 버지. 디 준비 롱시에 랑기 산지지 공부 맞어 버지 롱시 냐스네. 그냥 같이 좀 봐 땅 버이나. 디 준비 제부터 산지 맞어 버지 냐스네. 가슴 제부 롱시에 시와. 근데 처음이야.
So the here the emphasis is on the intention of giving. When one practices generosity to gain something from oneself, that's a worldly act of generosity. But the other one, to benefit all the sentient beings, all the other beings, which is in greater in intention. So that intention defines the exalted practice of generosity, which lasts until one becomes enlightened.
Then I'll be cousin. Zimbabwe.
So when one makes offering to like higher beings, it is a practice of generosity, and also one gives material assistance to those who are less fortunate than us, this practice is equally practice of generosity to the previous one. So do you think making offerings to higher beings or offerings to higher beings in one's own belief, do you think it's a practice of generosity?
Are you asking if it's the same equalness? Do we think it's the same equality?
The karse nyanol jimat nama the tini chigbar isen chigbar yungore se chwat tanga oras.
Chigbar yes.
No, do you think it's a practice of generosity, making offerings to higher beings?
Only if it's with an altruistic motivation for your own development, otherwise it's not.
Sorry?
I reckon that making offerings to the three jewels is only generous if it's with a good motivation.
So without altruistic intention, would it be practice of generosity? So, can we perform an act of generosity towards the higher beings such as three jewels? Three jewels, they don't come to us to beg for something.
I think if you pray to any higher being with the object of getting something back, like asking for material stuff, or you want something back in the expectancy of getting something back, that's not generous.
고조래 초밥 푸시는 소소로 찍가서 소소랑 이제 눈놈 줄때 토그레 되나 때 제발 로우지 말해. 가요.
왜? Why? Well, because any time you ask for something back is not a generous act. You're asking something for yourself. If you're praying.
소소로 찍 특별히 치드 아니 때 고런 요가 성사 때 제발. normalis.
Oh yeah. Then senje jimba to na gewa thore son gewa thore so jimba to na jimba dogumar bes.
So when we perform act of generosity with the intention to gain like a liberation or enlightenment, wouldn't it be practice of generosity in your view?
No.
Maris, don't Maris.
Generosity is like from the word that you generate, where you're making, you're producing something. You make a start in producing a giving of yourself or a giving of your intentions.
Jambas la morang kaya chine chikte ya chik kogoris. Jalati na ri sosu tegi inti na ri tindi chil kogoris.
Tindi chil kogoche. Ine nado kenchu ra cheba pesi de tegi rawas rebes.
So when we make offerings, are we giving something away or not?
Yes, but
yes,
when
you
go to the shop and you give money, don't you? Is that generous?
That's not an act of generosity, giving money in the shop.
When we give water bottles, that is offering food and music and water to everything. We're visualizing assisting the whole world without any expectancy back on ourselves. Surely that's generosity.
So Martha Karse Chik control chuk chopana any karse metoda atni Musham yig drew in Chopat and the Purin, and this also, dear Garson, Muyu can to be a man of some time and day, Pajit, Jamal Horis, Patna, someone, so to be a son to the Yomar.
So
when we do visualization of offerings, do we have any intentions or the reasons behind that action?
I think we have, because I think we are actually asking for enlightenment in return. And if we achieve enlightenment, then we can help in many more ways than we can.
What do you think about that Elon's comments? So, when we say offerings to higher beings, it's a bit slightly uncomfortable term to call it as a practice of generosity, but it is a generosity. And when we practice generosity, we have to have intention, we have to have a goal to achieve through that practice, otherwise it would be purposeless.
Mm.
The object of generosity of such as three jewels, they are called filled of merits. When we make offerings to them, then we gain accumulations of good karma for us. And in master called Asanga, he mentioned the benefit of practicing generosity, and he said giving things to beings, even though they are not higher beings, those beings who are friends, family, such as one's own parents, the consequences in good karma, they're immeasurable, they're enormous, and it's immeasurable.
Oh yeah, that you can Jimbe got the study my enjoy.
So the act of the practice of generosity will come again later on in this text.
That indeed you could learn it at Surung Lava.
The second one is about practice of morality, why we should practice this. So the root text reads, you should practice morality unbroken, not debased, undefiled, untainted, uncorrupted. Morality is declared the foundation for all virtue, just as earth is for the things moving and unmoving. So we have to have a field to grow good qualities in us. That field is the morality. So to achieve personal liberation or achieve enlightenment, one has to have a good seed to grow towards that, and that seed is also the morality as well. To attain enlightenment, full enlightenment, one has to practice three higher trainings: morality, wisdom, concentration and wisdom. So there is a meaning for their order as well.
Ta madhupe na sajde sade ani kaza madhu gubi ani gya ga ani tsuji me to la so de longje thama she se ne cha noji ani sojo de ya madhu le gya ga ani yeten thongji je be ne
so the earth or the gardens, they're the base for beautiful flowers or crops. You know, we grow grains, all the essential needs that we grow in earth. So the earth, that very earth, is analogy for the practice of morality, and all the good qualities can grow out of morality within oneself. So how we practice morality, what morality is? So the morality restraining from three, 10 non-virtuous actions. So the morality restraining from non-virtuous actions has to be unbroken, has to be pure and not corrupted, not stained by corruptions. The cause of breaking, the cause of morality is destructive emotions. So the morality contaminated by destructive emotions bound to be broken. So to observe morality here, one has to be honest with oneself. If one commit transgressions, then make it clear, and there's a way to confess or purify that. The defect of the mind is not the essential, it's not the innate nature of the mind. So it can be eliminated from the mind streams. So the unbroken vows, broken code of morality can be separated or can be eliminated from one's mind stream as well, because they are not innate nature of the mind. So the primordial nature of our mind is luminous, is radiating, and is not associated permanently with destructive influences. So innate nature of the mind is ever radiating, and it is not stained permanently. So because of that, we can eliminate the stains from that very own mind stream.
Sintindi tongpa yapo jiyore te, tata nandu haku umri kari chiyore sin, ta teta ve sin yesa ve tongpa te, nyemu gipa napo se kanyo yore sin. Chapar maji, chapar nongpa tsu jirolo se kune, vya tishulu tenji neva se jo yore sin.
So if the nature of the mind, if it is luminous and it is so clear and it is radiating, and then why don't we realize that? And that is a good question. But the reason behind that, because it is obscured by negative influence of the emotions.
That theater than decha she don't do something with sleeping and not listening to the Nemo Gentry Jetungi.
So that treasure, that's a very clear nature, the clear nature of the mind, ultimate nature of the mind is hidden by root causes of the afflictive emotions such as anger, attachment, and ignorance, and and those minor ones, countless minor ones associated or stemmed from those three roots. So they have been clouded by those three.
That's indeed the charge in Yembo Mduba Gamba Sula Tembe Mandevas.
So that to clear away that cover or the cloud of a mind, and we have to practice the counteracting or antidotes towards those negative emotions. How to overcome desire for like physical attractions, then we have to see the side of the ugliness in nature of that thing, and then we have to be familiarized, the mind has to be familiarized, acquainted with that practice, and then gradually we overcome the desire, strong desire towards like attractive things. So the desire, quite often desire has been intensified through supporting the appearance of the objects to one's own mind. Why this one is so beautiful to my mind, and then one intensifies the reasons behind that, makes the desire stronger. So then we have to see the counteractions to reduce the negative influence. So there's an analogy for that. You know, when we see a flash car, and we kind of naturally get attracted towards that the material thing, but one who knows that car inside out, the defects that the cars carry with, and then the difference between one who has strong attachment towards that car and one who doesn't have strong attachment towards that car because he found out all the defects with that car, and one who has intense attachment to that car or getting attached strongly to that car because he hasn't found any defects in that car.
Deja Korangi Shin the Tong, and the Chug Shin Tonson, the Chug Yu kasa kolo tsopo to gang ti ko shi esa kono rogi ma ni de to ya shi esa ma 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 gudu ma.
So when we see the negative side of the attachment or desire, then it reduces the intensity of the attachment.
Mandipas.
So the counter, the antidote towards strong desire, attachment, respectiness, practice in simply called ugliness, seeing ugliness in things, means finding out the defects of that that very nature in, of the thing. So this practice of morality here refers to the practice of Mahayana practice, and it says untainted because it shouldn't be contaminated by desires to gain self-liberations or liberation for only oneself, or gaining something for one's own benefit. So this practice has to be associated with altruistic view to bring enlightenment to all the beings. So that's why it says untainted. It has to be untainted. So when we take a pledge not to steal, and that's the code of ethics in morality. So to reduce the desire to gain things or to steal from others, is that one has to practice renunciation, has to renounce the thing by seeing the defects in their nature. So then one wouldn't be too attracted to that object, and that's reduced the risk of being stolen by oneself. Restraining oneself from stealing acts of stealing, if it's motivated for the benefit of only oneself, and then the karma of that action is limited. But whereas one has an intention, take the pledge not to steal things in order to become enlightened, fully enlightened, to benefit all the sentient beings, and that's the effect, the karmic effect, or the influence of that karma, as carries on all the way to enlightenment. So the intention behind the actions that counts, whether it's greater or less. So because the practice of morality eliminates all the defects of immorality, so it is the best for all the good qualities. So in the sutra it mentions there's a particular vase that holds all the treasures. So it has a specific name, but I can't remember at the moment. But that vase holds or one stores all the precious gems in that vase. So that vase is the perfect analogy for practice of morality, because all the good qualities are stored in the practice of morality. That's not the vase that contains frogs or fish or anything like that.
Sanjiji Kumbuto Teve and Ekan Shivi Nichigina Sanjili Zimbita and me Devatanji Shivi Neo Kochagri. Dino Jagi and Devatanji Shivi Neo Kochagri. Sanji Kumbuto Teve Nipoko Dua Sanji Matopa did not Deva Google, Deva did Yagani, Jiva Shesati, Kodiris.
So it's not only the primary cause to become enlightenment, practice of morality, and also it is the primary cause of happiness in this life and throughout the life, and happiness throughout the journey towards enlightenment. It's the primary cause of happiness. So, self-restraining from the 10 non-virtuous actions are prescribed for all the Buddhists, and also it is the definition of being as a simple Buddhist. Whether one engage in the practice of 10 virtues, which is restraining from the opponents of that actions. So the practice of In the practice of 10 virtues, the restraining from killing refers to non-violence here.
Seva se de tap hajangi seva paansi yete. Anga to seva de hajang chuchu jachungole pina lila seva longshila seva.
The violent action is a big concept, and to summarize the violent actions in two categories, one that harming the lives and the possessions, or the possessions. When one endangers lives, and that is the violence of harming life.
Tang longxie se de mi su zuo de gari zuo bu de mi su de ani ta ka se ke nama tinji zuo ge se mi de le zuo ya ge se ge ne ba nama ne wa xi ge na ani longxie le ne wa de ni lao ge.
Harming the possessions, here it means the basic necessities. Life is being nurtured by basic necessities such as food, shelter, clothes, and when one harms that's the very possessions, it is also a violent action of in two categories. So practice of non-violence is the most important practice in Buddhism, and practice of non-violence has to be associated with understanding of dependent arising enables one to understand why we perform act of violence towards others. So to practice perfect non-violence, one has to understand a dependent arising. So to be a simple basic Buddhist has to understand non-violent means and also the dependent arising, the concept of dependent arising in large. So, in the Buddhist practice, when one is a Buddhist, that has to be defined by one's action and the view of the world. So it's called actions and views, simply. So to become Buddhist, there are two ways to become Buddhist. One is through actions and one is through view. So through action means practicing non-violence towards others, and through view means understanding the dependent arising interconnectedness of the things in existence. So through those two, one can become Buddhist practitioner. What is dependent arising? Could you please tell me if anyone understands the concept of dependent arising?
contemplative writing start with ignorance, compositional activity, consciousness, and it continues on. You know, and then it suffers its cycle of existence, the explanation of cycle of existence.
The Denjong Ton Shevina, Denjong, Tenda Yla Chungis, those, and Marikpani Mangos, or Chenetanis, Chen, Lodos, Tatama Tingman, those, and the Chichen, and the Jigden Kova, the Denjong Ton Kandis Kogo, Miti, Tikon Shegoris. Any other comments?
So that nothing has an independent separate self.
Sorry?
Nothing has an independent
self,
separate self.
And then Karsay, Matuva ke Matuva tini trop de vache ga yoma re stel ten jong la boris.
Matuva tu de omes.
Oh yeah. Tini sa ten jong res.
Anything that arises is dependent on causes.
Denba choba yo maris, and it could take chop go a sona, Wubu change anything in Togo Sonsa, and it tell a danger on a body, the Sonsa, and it Denba yo maris.
Thank you.
Any more, please?
Chili chi yard, eh, sit down.
Very good comments. The comments are very competitive and they're equally good. So the dependent arising, the causes and conditions that Kieran told us, it's mainly tells us about the beings, how they are born in the samsaric or cyclic existence, but it doesn't encompass all the other phenomena other than living beings. So in the sutras, Buddha simply said, it's just, simply said, dilatin, this joint. This stemmed from that cause, he said simply, simple translation. This cause stemmed from that cause, and all the possibilities of existence came into being. So this one stems from this cause, and this refers to the ignorance, the root cause of cyclic existence here.
So
So the Buddha basically said this one originated from there, that explanation deals with the dependent arising. So which tells us the negative emotions are the cause of the sufferings, and consequently one accumulates different karmas which decide the next birth in a corresponding places according to the three different types of karmas.
ただ九時からね、まジュラマティビエに出るしやめやすいで、人類的にしてるのこれ。で、それで日本のマトビ、日本マインビグっていうの、でそれはやん超やまれ。日本のジュラティネに出るって中国語で、日本マインバジュラティネに出るまるわ。で、天竜レでやんジュラティネも出るっていうのちゃうの。
So the phenomena that is existing through causes of causes and conditions which are born. Karse ngupo yimba tam ngupo ma yimba. Nika tenre.
Ngupo ma yimba ni yore. Ngupo yimba kong yimba te jula teni jungle. Ngupo ma yimba jula teni jungle yomare.
So the in terms of a dependent arising. The phenomena that is depends on the causes and the conditions, and also the phenomena that is not came into being through earthly causes and conditions or compositional causes and conditions. So
the
in terms of dependent arising, there are two types of dependent arising. The dependent arising which originated from compositional factors, and the other phenomena which is not depends on the compositional or the causes of products. So the last one, which doesn't depend on the compositional factors, do you think that phenomena is also dependent arising or not? Is that clear or is quite hard?
No,
it? Dependent arising, there are two types of dependent arising. Dependent arisings, which are dependent arisings, this depends on the causes and conditions. They are subjected to impermanence, and the other phenomena, which is not subjected to impermanence. They are permanent factors in existence, such as space. And just bang. Is it clear?
Yes, dependent arising. This earth was dependent arising because of previous things that have happened to form this world, like our thoughts have helped to create this world. And so therefore it's dependent on what was going on before. It's what we are existing in now.
No, he is talking about two types of dependent arisings. The dependent arising that is subjected to like earthly causes and conditions, like you know, which are subject to changes, and then the other one is not subject to changes. It's permanent, such as space and sky. So the last one, the like the permanent one, like space and sky, such as space and sky, are they dependent arising? This is his question, to make it simple.
Yeah.
Is it clear? So depend ta chashir ten chuma se ta na ni shi so tin na kar tre
ta jinjer ma te ipo ma yimi
so the dependent arising in existence, which is not subjected to the causes and conditions, they are subjected to the paths and directions. So emptiness itself is also the ultimate truth of emptiness itself is dependent arising. And how do you define that as a dependent arising?
Which of the two?
Sorry?
Are you asking which of the two?
No, the emptiness itself is dependent arising or dependent origination. So why the emptiness is dependent origination, he says. Without object?
Without object.
Yeah.
What is the nature of emptiness? There is no emptiness. When we talk about emptiness, because there are objects, we can talk about those objects.
I think you misunderstood. Why emptiness is dependent arising? That's his question. What did you say? Sorry. The object is...
Well, that's my understanding. That's why I think emptiness and the nature is dependent on object. So without the object you're referring to, there's no permanence.
Don't you say that? Lack of two existence. So lack of two existence is it dependent arising?
No. Maris. The truth. Demo Maris.
Then the Maris.
Yes, the thing is raised in the Maris. Independent. Yes? You are? Oh, yeah. Ah, she has a ditch. Dangerous, yeah, chick there. She can't ask him, but she did. Lloyd, part of her. Ding.
Mm. Tamidena.
There
are many different types of dependent arisings. The certain level of the dependent arising deals with the concept of emptiness. When one understands the nature of the existence in emptiness, things are merely labeled by concept with the lack of self-existence from its own side, and then that explains about the subtle level of the dependent arising. That's hard for me to translate.
Then that not Michila Mikorani, Migamiga Niji, Michila, Mittasa Michi, but it's called the Shu Ganesi Michi, called Jakan Haju Mitjo, there is something mini called Tavina. That's in Mitte. मैं गांगे दिगे को मैं यापो जो तो ज़ुम्बो जो थोंगे वाले थोंगे लोग आते मैं गा के दिगे मितेला ताइन दिने पे मुझ तो मत चौपा चाने मुझे दुए जी मतो यार जी थोंगे मान को ये मुझे शोने खर्चे ना को दुए थोंगे वाले ती पे के मिते मैं चिंता नहीं दे रही थी कोरांग तो नहीं मंडा वाले नंबर नहीं दे
When we look at a person that we love or admire, you know, that person appears pleasant, attractive to us, pleasant and very nice. Whatever he or she says, it is understandable, reasonable, you know, it's like a music to one's own to ear. But when you listen to somebody that you dislike, and whatever he or she says, it is annoying, it's unpleasant, and that very person appears dirty, aggressive, you know, it's unpleasant to us. Why do we have such a different appearance in those cases? So the same ke suva injuries.
Concepts that they're conceptions, but they're only derived from your mental emotions or the afflictions that you have. So they're purely just conceptions that you've got of what you perceive to be real from your own conditioning. And they're just from the mental afflictions that you have.
Tere karsan sosu tonang da tarang da tonang da so sama ani sample nyomo ju jewa is kere and tene songta and pa yu pa jo muni so drop dewa mai ba sosu pa ta ja wa che ting gore is lok tene nyomo ta
ine ya manzu pa toyen ga mi jibote la ni jibi cha ni manzu bi cha ni toyen yor wa ko mewa ma wa
sa but one has, you know, when we objectify a person as a good or bad, that very person possesses good sides and also negative sides as well.
That's because it's just what you're projecting. It's not. It's not from their side actually. It's what you're projecting on them.
Pajo gumula ani karsan tini top deva yomaris. So to move the path out is the projecting to you.
Paju gun meba yina paju dele ti zongen chiko menge dene rebe.
So do you think that you know, person is completely neutral, doesn't possess any negative or positive side?
A person is just a concept of something that's not real. I mean, it's an illusion. So it's an object that you've gone and given a name to. That you perceive to be real by, and then you put all these schemas on them, you know, you've given them personalities, and but that's the trap of cyclic existence. That's what the mental affliction has caused.
Pajok kansa thel ani nga chu kansa sen pha main ta ani de ya go le sen de du cha le se sam lu ngwe ne pha chang chang zu jin ani din di cha che ton pa jo kansa de twin bre is din di song ta ani de nyomong ki wang ki me pha jo de pha zu ja wa cha ma shi che pha jo ngwe ne phe che so drop yo sa ma le se de dok ta de ya dok se drop yo sa ma le se So when we label somebody as a Buddha, and also we label somebody differently, there has to be something in the object to follow that label by.
Conventional reality, isn't it?
So when we label somebody as a Buddha, does Buddha exist? So things existing merely in labels, they're existing, and when we try to find the base or to try to single out one object that the label belongs to, and then we can't find that such an object. So when you look at my finger, can you find a particular object, a single object that is the whole finger? The top one or bottom one? Or the nail? So the nail itself is not the finger. So there has to be an object that we give a label to. So when we check the whether the finger is existing from this its own side without depending on other causes and conditions, then we can't find the finger itself. So that finger itself exists with label and the concept of finger. So that depends on the labeling. Any questions, please? You can ask in English.
Senomene tonyi tenyi to tokumare.
So Samruk says without the accumulation of good merits as a support to understand or realize the emptiness, even though we are intelligent, you know, with a sharp mind, do we have the capability to understand emptiness without baking of merits or accumulating merits? So wisdom that that discerns emptiness has to be associated with accumulation of merits. Without the backing of merits, and one wouldn't be able to understand it correctly.
So
I will talk about that tomorrow. The two types of accumulations in good karmas to understand emptiness. Without accumulation merits, one is not able to understand emptiness correctly.
Have you, you know, like with the non-virtues, when you're talking about morality, one of the non-virtues is harsh words. Is there an antidote? Like when you're practicing and trying to practice and study Dharma, and you're tired and you have a good growl at your children, and you have those harsh words, and you realise in that instant what you've done, but you've already done it. And you wish to not do it again, but of course you get tired again another week later, and you growl at them again. What's the assistance and antidote? Because you're accumulating this bad karma and you're recognising that. But is there an antidote, or is there some way to assist to prevent those times when you lack that ability and clarity of mind to stop something like that with harsh words and so forth?
Then I nyomo mage chue nanglo jik tsikchop se yate rindu ase. Tsikchop se yate moran kongto la yun du gana yun bu da tini la tsikchop tini lab shong du ase. Lab shong du ga la tsai jila yun joba ching du ase. Joba che ta te meji go sa na yun yan jo soso tang lao chi yun du gana yun te tenpa ji chini yan jo tini ji go wa tini cha du ase. Tini song zang yun te kar se te mayon ya ke yun nyenpo. Seeing the to reduce that type of action is to see the destructive nature in the consequences of that very action. So the consequences of one person who said bad things about bodhisattvas was born in the ocean with many different heads and followed by 500 subsequent lives of that very negative action. And also the consequences of harsh words is in next life one has to endure with harsh words with from others. Or have to listen to others' harsh words.
Jagawe ni ma dungje, mo chi sempa chuni shibu meje. Sempa shibu me, tabor chi shibu shi na chi shi tabor chi lo di tabor di ni ma shi na za chan di shi jo yata. Tadika duk chan.
Kari masa shi jata?
Ma shi chan chi shi 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 duk chan chan ma shi chan tabor di ni ti ni ka tabor di ni ya chi shi yata. Tipa, ta, tibi shi ta, sanji yabu chi yata, sanji di no, turu ngen chan di shi di ko. Ta, kurangi, ubi,
There's a story about an old lady in India who was extremely unhappy. So one day he bought a newspaper and read all the negative things that happened. And then he switched on the TV and all the bad things happening there as well. And when her son came home, he had bad experiences to share with her. So all those experiences so overwhelming for her, and she died of a heart attack that night. So the negative consequences of destructive emotions are enormous. So then it's wise to practice the antidotes towards those negative emotions.
Reprimanding a child is a harsh word.
Because I would have been told
very sternly by his
do this and that.
You wouldn't consider reprimanding a child as a divisive and harsh word, but it can be modified by after they behave by counteracting that by kindness and love.
Murangi tewe ni pūla ane karse chik te chinda majit la chana chik te stopo chaya te thikso kona rōle tene te yume dosa karse nta pūde labu yoras chambu chesha nta te se geshi la chuncho kana tene langwen tene chori jasme kinti majit te chesha.